Wow. Hey, y'all. Welcome to Diamond and Silk Chit Chat Live. I'm your host, Silk, and you are my co-host, my Diamond Dream Team. And as Diamond would always say, it takes a team to build a dream. So I want you to stop what you're doing right now. Be sure to like and share this broadcast. Yes, yes, yes. Share it everywhere and let them know that Silk is on the air. And it's imperative that you share it tonight because we're going to be talking to the Colonel Mike McAllister. That's right. We're going to be talking to the Colonel about the political corruption and the weaponization of our government against President Donald J. Trump and taxpaying American citizens. Yes, 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 yes. So I have a lot of questions. And if you have any questions, be sure to post them there in the live chats. Post them right there in the live chats. I have my moderators on point so that they can let me know if you all have any questions. Shout out to everyone joining me live on Getter Live, Rumble Live, Frank Speech Live. Shout out to Lindell TV, RSBN Network, CTA TV, Stripes TV, Blast News Network, and Eagle News Network, and all of the other different networks that's carrying the Diamond and Silk Chit Chat Live show on your platform. Shout out to each and every one of you. I just want to say thank you. That's right. Thank you so very much. The show is sponsored by MyPillow.com, where you can get the MyPillow 2.0, the My Mattress Topper 2.0, the sheets, the slippers, the towels, the loungewear, and so much more, you all. Right there at MyPillow.com, be sure to use promo code DIAMOND or promo code TRUMP1. That's right, because he did win. And we all know he won. That's right, you all. Don't forget about the My Coffee at MyStore.com. I always say that the best part to waking up is not being woke, but being awake with My Coffee. So don't be hasty. Go on over there and get you something tasty right there at MyStore.com. And be sure to use promo code DIAMOND. Also at MyStore.com, they have the Diamond and Silk book, Uprising. Who the hell said you can't ditch and switch to Awakening of Diamond and Silk? It's there at the MyStore.com. They have other American-based businesses there at MyStore.com. So if you go there and you see something that you truly like, go ahead on and purchase it, but be sure to use promo code DIAMOND or Trump won because he did win. The show is also sponsored by PatchThat.com. PatchThat.com. That's right. Now, I just had up here what I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about, here it is, the ice wave patches, you all. And what I love about the ice wave patches is that it's fast acting and non-addictive. That's right. It's non-addictive. Yes. So you won't get addicted to it. Okay. It's convenient and easy to use. No drugs, no chemicals or stimulants. All right. I absolutely love the ice wave patches. So that's, you can go to patchthat.com if you're interested in purchasing some. A lot of people love the S39, but occasionally I'll just circle around to it. You know, it releases negative energy and, basically, you can reclaim your active spirit. Ooh. Yeah, and I have mine on right now at the top and at the bottom, underneath my feet. That's right, because I need my energy channel clear because I'm about to talk to the Colonel about some things that's been bothering me. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to try to keep it clean for my Christian folks in the back and the front and on the side. Okay. All right. So go to patchthat.com. Now, if you are interested in getting more information about the patches, you can go to patchthat.info. Patchthat.info. Don't forget to go to diamondandsilkstore.com. Diamondandsilkstore.com to get your bumper sticker. We want Trump. We want Trump. You all, we need Trump. We need him very, very badly. All right. It's two for $5. Okay. Go there and support. Yes, yes, yes. The show is viewer supported. Okay. You support me and I'll be right here for you. Okay. All right. So that's diamondandsilkstore.com. All right. Now I want to go head on and bring on the Colonel. He is a former candidate for governor of Florida and the United States Senate. He currently holds the position as president and, okay, so somebody got something chopped up here. Woo! He served on the United States Special Operations Command and the Center for Operation. He also traveled to the borders with President Donald J. Trump staff to assess the security and humanitarian crisis there at the border, y'all. So please, welcome to the show, my distinguished guest, Mr. Mike McAllister. Colonel.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me. I am really excited to be a part of your great show and the work you do and to add some value.
Wow. Well, okay. Well, look, okay. Tell the audience, it's your first time on my show. So I want you to tell the audience just a little bit about yourself so we can, you know, make this great introduction to the audience.
Well, I'm a retired colonel. My last 5 years were at the United States Special Operations Command. I was very privileged to serve there. Sat on some Pentagon committees in that role. And I ran for, after that, you know, they retire you. They retire you and they call it retiring you, but they actually just tell you to go home. Your time's up. So I don't know if you're any better. So they know what I'm saying there. And then I ran for governor of Florida. And then I ran for the United States Senate. And I had very good adversaries. I ran against Rick Scott, who now serves in the U.S. Senate. And, you know, I learned a lot in doing that and gained a lot of insight. So anybody that's watching the show tonight that's a candidate, I understand, you know, how difficult it is. But when you get in office, don't forget who you work for. And that's it's important that we elect people that will go up there and protect our Constitution and protect American citizens and protect this country. And as you say, Silk, and you do it so, so well, we must get Donald Trump back in the White House.
Oh, ASAP. He needs to be there ASAP. And, you know, when you talk about don't forget who you work for, as an American citizen, it feels like we are at war with our own government. That's what it feels like to me. You know, many people, as well as myself, we have major concern for the sovereignty of our country. And it really surely feels like our country and its sovereignty has been sieged. That's what it feels like to me and a lot more other. I feel like our government are against us, we the people, and that they've implemented this elaborate scheme to replace us with illegal aliens. That's what I'm feeling like. I'm just telling you my opinion about it. I ain't trying to be conspiratorial or anything like that. You know, them little words that they throw out there. But that's how I am feeling. There is something wrong. There's something going on here. And I'm like, do we have a shadow government? What is actually happening here? Now, I just said a mouthful, so you're able to elaborate on it.
Well, you said a mouthful of very important things. And okay. You touched on a lot of very serious issues that are on the hearts and the minds of many Americans. And, you know, we look at this country, it was built with the blood, the sweat, and the tears, and the lives of American citizens and their past generations, their parents, their grandparents, their great grandparents, and it's up to us now to hold this thing safe and secure for our future generations. You know, our generation right now, and you pointed it out, is facing tyranny from within, unlike any time in my lifetime. I can tell you that. And, you know, a couple of topics we can discuss tonight, and you touched on them, are the political corruption that's going on, the weaponization of our government agencies against American citizens. We can touch on, you know, FISA and Section 702 and how the FBI has abused that. We can talk about the southern border and the trafficking. And I was fortunate enough to be invited to go down there and to see it firsthand. We can talk about, you know, our adversaries globally, but a particular maybe what's going on in Israel with Hamas and Gaza and how it's being basically, you know, funded and run out of Iran. We can talk about their role in the Houthis and with Hezbollah. And then, you know, when we look at, and I'm just briefly glancing at some notes here because these are such important topics, but this upcoming election. And that may be the biggest issue. And how is that keeping up? And what do we want to keep our eyes on? And like you said, you know, what are we up against? This country is supposed to be the role model for a democratic republic. And when they start, you don't have fair elections, you don't have a republic. You don't have any democratic process. So So I'll let
We can piggyback off of that. We can go backwards. I like that. That we can start right there at the election. Now, for me, the election was stolen in 2020, and they did some nefarious stuff to steal a lot of the election in 2022. Period. All right. And it appears that our court system has been sieged as well. And that, you know, with these different cheating mechanisms that they have already set, it appears that we've never really truly had a free and fair election. We've only had us election, and they wanted us to participate in their crime.
Yes.
You know, that's exactly what it seems like to me. What about you? How are we going to be able to have a free and fair election, especially in 2024 coming up right now in this presidential election, when we have the evils to be along with the Republican? It's like the Democrats steal the election. The Republicans, they drive the getaway car. Okay. We got the deep state snake. They're all right there, a big old cabal together, trying to basically steal this here from we, the American people. So what can we do? How are we going to stop this if they're allowing these cheating mechanisms to still remain in play?
Well, you hit on some really key points there. And, and one of the things, and from what I've been told pretty much straight on, is the campaign slogan this year for President Trump's campaign is going to be too big to rig. And, there are going to, I mean, we know, and you put your fingers on it, they're going to cheat. And you know, there's probably always been cheating, but never on the scale that we see today. And, and being a former military guy, I worked for some people way smarter than me. I learned some things from people that knew more than me. Absolutely. So, one of the lessons I learned is always put yourself in the role of your adversary or of your opponent. So I say to myself, if I was going to cheat, how would I cheat? Well, I'm going to cheat where I can get by with it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to cheat all I can, everywhere I got overhead cover. So we start looking, well, what the heck does that mean? Well, I'm going to, when we look at a presidential election, President Trump's running as a Republican. So who's the other guy? The other guy is a Democrat. And if I'm the Democrats, I want my Democrat guy in there. What's that guy's name? Joe Biden? Is that the guy? Is that the one that we're running against? I don't know. I guess I could call Fannie Willis and ask her what her and Wade talked to them about when they were at the White House. I'm sorry. I couldn't leave that out there. So you start looking at, well, where do the Democrats have control that would give you overhead cover and a means and a capability to cheat? What's in large cities? You know, our large cities mostly have Democrat mayors. Well, what large cities would you cheat in? Where would you pick? Because you can't, you probably want to pick your battle a little bit so that, you can have some plausible deniability, at least with the media, who seems to either be, totally on board with them or not near as smart as they think they are, that they can't smell anything out. I'd look at Atlanta. What states would you want to cheat in? And then after you identify what states you'd want to cheat in, then where in that state would you cheat? Well, you're going to cheat in swing states that are very close, because you got to have 70 electoral votes. So, we look at Georgia. President Trump lost by 10,000 votes in a state that probably cast, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'm just going to say 3 to 4 million votes probably. Same in Arizona. Well, where in Georgia would you cheat? Well, maybe the biggest city that has a Democrat mayor that can control, things, or a Democrat supervisor elections. Well, where would that be? Atlanta. Yeah, Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those states that has a major metropolitan area that is a significant piece of the entire population and thus the voting population. So you can cheat enough in a very close state like Georgia or Phoenix in Arizona, or Detroit in Michigan, where they're pretty close, going to be close elections, but you can cheat enough in a big city that it's not glaringly obvious and you can swing the election. So that's what happens in Georgia. President Trump was up by, 1 or 2% and then lost the election by 10,000 votes, which was, 1/10 of a percent or 0.2%, and the same in Arizona. So from where I'm standing, and it's not like that I'm the person that's all-knowing in this, but they're going to cheat again. So I'm sure they're getting concerned, because this time in Georgia, he's not up by 1 or 2%. He's up by 5 or 6.
Right.
So, you know, right, they're looking at, yeah, and the same in Arizona. And so, you know, and Silk, you jump in when I start talking too much here.
Well, I was just gonna do a Jen Psaki and suck her back on something. Okay, you talked about the election being lost about around 10,000 votes. But see, it appears that people loses the election during election week versus election day. And so I thought that we supposed to have election day, okay?
Yeah.
Not election week, where you know where the person is at and you know how many votes you got to keep plugging into the tabulators and finding in the little suitcases and the boxes and different things and bringing in to say this one right here vote. And then not to mention the USPS, you know, what the entire hell are they doing, you know, with all of these ballots and different things. The opportunity for these people to cheat, the mechanism for them to cheat is out there. I thought, though, that we have an opposing side to oppose against the cheating. That's my beef. You know, we have the evidence of the cheating, because the numbers are not adding up, right? We got that. But then when you go there to court, they say you have no standing. And my deal is, if I participated in an election, I have standing as a citizen. If our tax dollars paid for all of these mechanisms for them to cheat, then we should have standing to be able to show how they did it, instead of just kick the can right on down the road. Okay?
No, and you're exactly right. So let me just kind of continue with that line of thought there. So let's say that it's dark, because this election's coming down to 6 states. I mean, right now we're sitting here, it's going to come down to Nevada, Arizona, and Georgia in the South and Southwest, and it's going to come down to Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin in the Rust Bucket in the North and North Central. Right now, President Trump has a very solid lead in most polls. We can always cite some, you know, anomaly there, but in Nevada, in which, you know, he didn't win the first time, but has a solid lead again in Arizona and Georgia, like 5 to 6%, which he did win in 2016 and lost both in 2020. If those polls hold, even if they cheat, because they took last time they were able to cheat by 10,000 votes. Well, when you're up by 6%, that's way more than 10,000 votes. So let's say he wins those three states. Then it comes down to Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. He will only need one of those three to win. Mm-hmm. But everybody knows that. You know, his team knows that, President. Mm-hmm. Trump's team knows that, and the opposition knows that. So we're going to try to cheat to pick up kind of where we were at. How are we going to do that? Well, we can have more ballots filled out. And the thing that bothers me, and you make great points, is, you know, is we're talking about disenfranchising the honest voter. We're talking about Americans that go to work. Yes. You know, so when we start looking at, first of all, how they cheat, there's nothing that ties a ballot to a person unless it comes through the mail and they've truly signed on the outside and they really check the signatures or blah, blah, blah. But once you go into the polls and you cast your ballot and they stick it in the machine and they hold the ballot, there's no way they know who filled this ballot out. So what would bother me, and if I was going to cheat, I'm going to cheat as many ways as I can to hide my sins and also to have different ways that I can maneuver in case my predictions were wrong on how much I needed to cheat.
Right.
So let's take a major city where you got a supervisor of elections that wants to cheat. We've had that right here in Florida. Got removed from their position down in Broward County. So, you know, you got these cases of ballots sitting around. And there's nothing, again, you know, it's the chain of custody of the ballots before they're filled out and after they're filled out. I don't believe, from what I see, that the mass cheating is going on out in the average precincts, especially out in the urban areas and in the rural areas. It's when they get into the supervisor of elections or into the major cities. So then the poll watchers are there to see how they're counted. Then the polls close and they say, okay, you all have to leave now. We're going to lock the door and pull down the shades, and you guys have to go, and they'll have the police escort them out. Well, you're sitting there watching, you know, how the election's going, like you pointed out so mm-hmm. accurately. Well, okay, we got a case of 1,000 ballots here that we filled out last week, and you know, we need to run yep. through. Okay, now where are we at? So, you know, you could cheat if you were going to cheat. One way to do it would simply to be have pre-filled out ballots sitting available
oh, yeah.
right there at the supervisor of elections in a major city.
And okay. Back in 2016, you know, Diamond and Silk was really involved into the elections and different things. A lot of people feared that President Trump was going to lose, but we was like, no, President Trump's going to win. He's going to win this election. And so it was really basically too big for them to rig. And that's why Hillary Rodham Clinton was so upset about losing, because they didn't rig it high enough for her. But my question is, okay, so you got these different cities, these different states that, you know, that has their cheating mechanism. They have their cheating machines and all of that different stuff in place.
Yes.
Why can't we also include the paper ballot hand counting procedure, put that in place as well, where we can add up the numbers of the ballots and so forth and who voted for who versus the machine to make sure we come up with the same number?
And that's a great point, because what that would do is that would help a lot, particularly if we think the machines are rigged, you know, where the machines are doing math. Here's the other thing that complicates it even more, and you're exactly right. We got to start eliminating these mechanisms of how we can lose integrity in our elections. So one would be if the machines are doing phony math. Obviously, that's an electronic problem. That you know, up to the machine integrity. And then on the ballots, it's like I was speaking at an event up in Ohio a couple of months ago. The Republican Party had me come up there. And at that particular event, they had the Speaker of the House and they had their Secretary of State. And, mm-hmm. and I like the young man. He's a good guy. But he mentioned, he said, well, we did an audit on our election. We had 98% to 99% accuracy. And I said, well, first of all, before you pat yourself on the back too much, and the young man does a good job. So if he's listening in tonight, you know, I totally support you. But if we go back to a major city that's cheating there by having ballots filled out that were not filled out by a voter, well, Mike, how can they do that? Because they have the cases of them there. They send them out to precincts, the extra ballots come back in, but they, you know, it's not like anything ties a ballot to a person. So if you've got extra ballots there, and they do, you just fill them out before the election. Then that night you run them through the machines. And then if you count them again, you still come up with a phony number. And it's like I told him, if I give you 10 real $100 bills and 10 mm-hmm. phony ones, we can count them all day long and it comes up 20. And this is kind of what I think happened in Arizona. You know, mm-hmm. you have phony ballots there. Yeah, but you had hard copies of them, but you count the phony $100 bills. That doesn't mm-hmm. make them real. Yeah, it doesn't.
Right.
So I think we
got to
do a lot of things. And Silk, well, you know, you're such.
I'm looking at the ballots where people come in and they're there in line and they're running their ballots through the tabulators. All right.
Yes.
All right. That's supposed to equal up to a particular number. All right.
Yes.
And then you got your machines or what have you. It should total up to the same number when it comes down to the end of the day. And so all of these extra ballots that's being pumped in after the election day, I thought that was illegal for them to do that.
Well, they're doing a lot of things illegal by even cheating at all. So let's say you put out the ballots early and then they just run them through the machine. And there's no one that knows, you know, if you're at the center of the supervisor elections for that county where the ballots get counted from all the precincts come in and they count them all up or they run them through the machines there or whatever, you just run through ballots that you filled out for a couple of weeks. Now, you know, the machine counts it. You have a paper copy of it, but it was really not a real person that filled it out. And so that's one thing that concerns me. You see how that could be a problem? Now, they do have solid data on how many voters are in every precinct in every county in every state. They know how many people voted in every precinct in every county in every state.
Right.
So I would say, Silk, and you're making great points and you're right on this thing, But we look at constitutionally, who has the authority to run the elections? Well, there's only one body. That's the state legislatures. So when we So when we look at these states in question, all of them had, except maybe Nevada, had Republican legislatures. So here's what I hope the message gets out to the state. Let's take, we're going to use Georgia again because it's all in the news, and Atlanta's a great example of what's going on in other things. So we'll just talk about Georgia. If you're a state legislator and, you know, whether a state House member or a state senator, you represent one district in that state. You don't rep, it's not like U.S. Senate where you represent the whole state.
Right.
We need to get the message to the state legislatures. Do not let your voters, your constituents, the people living in your district be disenfranchised because they cheat so much in a big city that it overcomes their votes. And the state legislatures are going to have to take some actions that greatly strengthen election integrity. And that's maybe a way to tie it. And where you can't have more ballots than you had voters in a precinct, that would be a good place to start.
Right.
I mean, and you know, they have the data.
Some of that has been taking place where there's more votes than there is voters. And just that right there alone should be enough to not certify an election because the numbers are not adding up. And shame on the Democrats, the same Democrats that loves to run around here and talk about voter suppression are the same ones who's suppressing my vote to vote for the candidate of my choice when they're trying to keep him off the ballot. They're doing the same exact thing that they're speaking about. I think that is a disgrace. All right. Now you have the political prosecution of President Donald J. Trump by these, you know, Letitia James and this phony Willis. Yeah, you got all of this different stuff that's going on where it's like lawfare against President Trump. Now, we have done sat here and watch all of these committee hearings from the Republican Congress, pull out the receipts of Jim Crow Joe Biden and his son and his family, all of that. But guess what? Everything's went silent. They've said absolutely nothing, but everybody want to dump on Trump. Okay? I think that that's also a disgrace as well, especially with Letitia James wanting to steal the wealth of a man where there's no crime, no victim, there is no damages, none of that. And so where is the opposition to call her whole card for doing that? How is it that we have a constitution, we have laws, we have rules, we have regulations, but everything has been thrown out the window? We have statute of limitations where these people are going in, changing the statute of limitation just to dump on Trump, all right? What about the statute of limitation to go head on and get Biden's behind, especially with that border being wide open?
You make a lot of really good points, so maybe we can break them down a little for the viewers.
Okay.
With Letitia James, for those that maybe aren't able to follow this, she's an elected attorney general in the state of New York. Every state has an attorney general. They're the highest ranking law enforcement officer in the state. Mm-hmm. Fannie Willis is a district attorney in Fulton County in Georgia. So that's the difference in the two. Fannie Willis really only does one county, and that's in Georgia. Letitia James is the attorney general for the state of New York. Mm-hmm. Now, what's really, and you to go right along with what you're saying, you know, we should have some separation here in political versus law. When I say that, let me be more specific. It's very concerning that you had Letitia James running for attorney general of, at that time, the third or fourth largest state in the country, that her whole campaign thing was, if you elect me, I'm going to get President Trump.
Yeah.
Now, if that's not a hired gun, if that's not trying to convict someone before there's a crime, you tell me what it was. She's out there telling them, I'm going to get him. I don't know how. I don't know when. I don't know what I'm going to use. But you elect me and I'm going to get him. You know, what is that? What is that? So, and you pointed out, what did they get him on? People saying he frauded. And she gets on TV and says, well, I'm going to get the money back for the people in New York. Newsflash, everybody, the people in New York didn't loan him any money. The banks loaned him money. Yeah, they got paid back. Yeah, there was no, there was, so, and then you've got a judge up there, Arthur Ingron, is that his name? And I think it's Arthur, you know, the guy that doesn't know how to put on a decent tie and shirt.
Or look like and he's from Tales from the Crypt. Yeah.
No, he's sitting there saying Mar-a-Lago's worth $18 million, where you've got certain real estate estimations I've seen of $500 million. So when you're going to devalue property like that and then say the guy frauded his worth, I mean, that's just ridiculous. And
not to mention,
we look at her. Go ahead. Yes.
Not to mention the courts, the appellate courts, talking about the statute of limitation and how they took and they ignored everything and then continued on railroading, trying to railroad President Donald J. Trump. It's ridiculous with what they're doing. But once again, with her doing that, where is the opposition to that? Okay. How is this even legal and lawful for them to even be able to do this whenever the appellate court has already stated about the statute of limitation? You can't go back and do it. But they's like, okay, we're just going to, just like Joe Biden, the courts has already said you cannot pay these people student loans, but he's out there ignoring the courts. Like, we're going to take and pay the debts of the student loans. So they're ignoring the law. They're ignoring the rules, the regulations, the Constitution. They're ignoring Congress. They're just doing what, just railroading America. That's what it seems like they're doing here.
Silk, and you make another great point. And I tell you that the thing that's great about your show is you bring up these issues that a lot of Americans just aren't privy to the information. And I would urge them, and I'll add to what you were saying, that if you want to get around what all the, well, that's just conspiracy theory, that's not true, watch the congressional testimonies. You can watch them on YouTube. This is the witnesses under oath before the U.S. Congress with the Republicans and the Democrats sitting there. That's probably the closest you're going to get to the truth. But to the student loan thing, it came up today. I believe it was the Attorney General of Missouri has said, I'm going to file a lawsuit on behalf of the people of Missouri that he is bypassing the Constitution by this would require congressional funding to forgive student loans. This is a part of the separation of power. The checkbook belongs to the Congress and not the president. But here's Biden out there saying, I'm going to forgive student loans. And of course, everybody that has a student loan that doesn't want to pay it is cheering and screaming. And then he says, and I'm going to give free education at all the junior colleges or all the state colleges. Well, guess what? You know, you're basically telling the Congress that you now control the checkbook, and you're telling United States taxpayers, well, here's what you're going to pay for so I can use it to get reelected. Yeah, and this is, well, you're right. He's desperate because he's done nothing in office that he can hang his hat on. We have no respect around the world. We have Hamas over there invading, you know, they went into Israel and invaded them, and he's wavering on supporting Israel. He has basically refunded Iran, which has allowed them to go back and making missile technologies that the Houthis are using out of Yemen to bomb all the shipping. He's opened the southern border to anybody that wants in. There's no screening there. And when people say, well, these are just people wanting a better way of life, I say to them, what did you see when you went? What did you see when you went to the border? Well, I haven't been. Well, maybe you need to go. Did you talk to the border agents? And so, you know, what's happened down there, and I don't mean to jump across, but yes, he has basically turned our country over to anybody that wants to be here. If I was a spy in the old days, you had to sneak in a country to spy. All you got to do now is come to the border and say, my name's Jose, and I just want a better job. Here, come on in. Here's your cell phone and your credit card, and we're going to put you up at a $500 a night hotel in New York City. And
you
what's interesting,
so,
you can comment on this too. You know, in some of these big cities and that have black Democrat mayors like Chicago or New York, they are realizing the cost of illegal immigration. And now there's the citizens there are. And the citizens are calling the mayors out. What are you doing making us a sanctuary city? The illegal immigrants coming in, a lot of them are conducting criminal activities. They're breaking in our homes and our cars.
Yes.
So what
and
do you
now
say?
I'm hearing that the FBI has now issued a warrant talking about a terrorist attack is imminent. You know, it's imminent. So my deal is, what do you expect? What do you expect if you're allowing terrorists to invade our country? You think they're coming in here to get Americanized? I mean, this is crazy right here. You're allowing it to be open to these different individuals that we don't even know. So my question to you is, what will it take for the United States Customs and Border Protection Agency to put a stop to the invasion into our country, the human trafficking, the human smuggling, including the sex trafficking of our children at the border?
Yep. And that's a great point. The Border Patrol falls under the Department of Homeland Security, which is Alejandro Mayorkas, our Secretary of Homeland Security. He reports to the president. He's on the presidential cabinet. The same with ICE and the same with the Customs. All of these are agencies of our government that come under the Department of Homeland Security. So when you have a president that is the boss of the Secretary of Homeland Security, who is the boss of all these agencies, and he says, let them in, they're going to let them in. So what does it take, Silk, to answer your question? What is it going to take to fix this? We got to get Donald Trump back in the White House. And when he gets back in the White House, we will have a secure border like every other country on this planet.
That's right. And like we had before Jim Crow Joe Biden sieged the White House and did his executive orders to remove all of President Donald Trump's border policies. I continue to tell people, with the stroke of a pen, he did this, all right? And with the stroke of a pen, he can undo this, all right? He can undo it. We don't need no paper, no pencil. We don't need no legislation. We don't even need Congress. He can do it by himself, okay? So I'm now talking about the Republican Congress. Why are they funding this rogue government? Why are they funding this regime who refuses to protect America and American citizens from being invaded by these terrorists and these illegal aliens? They're not asylum seekers. They're not migrants. These are illegal aliens. And according to Title 8, Code 1324, they call these individuals illegal. They call them aliens, is what they call them. Okay? So I don't play footsie with the words. But how is it that the Republican Congress can just fund this regime, especially with this regime not protecting our country?
You know what? It's a great question, and it's one I would love to have all the Republicans in the U.S. Senate and the U.S. Congress tell us the answer to that. And you got to wonder, you know, why would they do that? Why would they not want to protect the lives and the well-being of their constituents? You know, there's 435 U.S. congressmen in this country and 100 U.S. senators. They work for the voters in their state, and they work for the constituents from their districts or from the state that if they're a senator. So you got to wonder, why aren't you protecting the interest of your people? And to kind of add to your point, when I was at the border, they brought us in and gave us a briefing by the Border Patrol and the Undersecretary of Homeland Security at that time. Now, this was President Trump was in office, and they cited a number then that over 90% of the people coming through the border were what they called OTM, other than Mexican. But a lot of the Americans, bless their heart, they just don't understand. These are not all people wanting to come here for a better way of life. That's not what's going on. And the drug cartels have bought the property on the south side of the border, and they have greatly, under this president, because of an open border policy, and they control all the access to the border wall, they've said, you know what? Thank you very much. I'm surprised we don't have signs out there that say drug cartels for Biden. I mean, that's really what we've got. And so they said, well, we're not, and you touched on it earlier, well, this drug trafficking's working pretty good. Let's go ahead and traffic kids. Let's go ahead and traffic women. Let's have sex trafficking and anything else. So they have greatly expanded the scale and the scope of this criminal operation that has been completely enabled and facilitated by this president refusing to secure the border. And I feel bad for the Border Patrol agents. They can't do their job. You know, their handcuffs are tight.
But see, that's called aiding and abetting. That's called aiding and abetting. We have laws against that. So who do we have to implement and enforce the laws that's already on the book? Okay. These sanctuary cities with them housing these criminals, that's aiding and abetting. Okay. The sanctuary cities was actually put in place for DACA, for the DACAs, the ones that had the green cards and the work permits. And if they ran out, They use that as a safe haven for those individuals. These illegal aliens that's crossing over into our country right now, that is trespassing into our country right now, when I see what's happening in like places like Chicago and New York and California and all over our country, they're aiding and abetting aliens because we don't know who these individuals are. So who opposes that?
Well, I guess the good news is every 2 years, all 435 U.S. Congress people have to be reelected. So it's shows like yours that is helping to get the people aware. It's the work people like you are doing and your listeners that, you know what? Ask your congressman, ask them, okay, what are you doing about illegal immigration? What are you doing to pass the law in the Congress? Because Congress still passes the laws, although, you know, this president seems to think he can bypass the entire Congress on everything. What are you going to do? And when people are talking to their state house or their state senator at any kind of an event or whatever, what are you going to do specifically to make sure my vote counts? Mr. and Mrs. State Legislature, you are constitutionally authorized as the only body that is responsible for our elections. Number one, what are you going to do to protect my vote? I want an answer. And we must start holding these elected officials, whether it's at the state level or at the federal level, responsible to make Americans come first.
That's right. That's right. And now, go ahead.
No, and some of them, we definitely just need to fire them. If they don't have good answers, then we need to get different people in office. And maybe there's people watching this show right now that should just go ahead and run for office. You know, in a lot of states, you can still get your name on a ballot. And if you don't do it now, then do it next time. And I can honestly say, having run statewide a couple of times, it's tough. I understand that. But we need good people in office.
It appears that Congress is compromised. It appears that Mike Johnson is compromised. I'm just being real with you. And as this is in my own humble opinion, because the same people that said, okay, we can't do nothing right now because the Democrats have the House. When Republicans get the House, we're going to help the J6ers. We're going to help them out. Now, we got individuals, American citizens, who are locked up right now because they have been told that they trespass at America House. I didn't know that was like public, like private property. I thought that was public property, open to the public is what I thought, okay? But you got them locked up talking about they trespass at the Capitol, and a lot of those people weren't even at the Capitol that's locked up right now. But you got illegal aliens who's trespassing here in America every single day, and you giving them free food, free medical, free money, iPhones, IDs, just work permits. You giving everything to them. But for the individuals who was up there protesting a fraudulent election, you got people that had government permits to be at the Capitol because they was protesting the mandates. They had nothing to do with the election. They still serve time or are still locked up today, okay? Just for being at the Capitol at that time. But then you got Nancy Pelosi's daughter, who had a whole documentary crew right there, and nothing. She got absolutely nothing. Nobody did nothing to her or her crew members, but she was there on January the 6th. So this is a two-tier justice system that we're really truly dealing with, in my opinion.
No, and your opinion is right on target, Silk, just like always. You know, I was watching a congressional testimony, and again, this isn't conspiracy, folks. This isn't the media. This isn't Facebook. Were, you know, before the U.S. Congress, they had Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI, in person testifying before the Congress. I'm watching him. I'm watching Congress because you can watch this stuff. And, you know, it starts coming out that, well, did you all have the bank? Did you all solicit bank records for anybody that bought a snow cone or a cup of coffee at the in Washington, D.C. that day? Well, yeah, you know, he dances around. Basically, they were trying to just investigate anybody that had any presence there whatsoever. And yet, like you're pointing out, you can come across the southern border. We don't know who you are. We don't know your criminal record. We don't know what diseases you may have. We don't know anything. Oh, well, that's okay because you're an immigrant. And you're so right. They're illegal immigrants. But Mike, how can you That's say right. that? I move my lips and the words come out. They're here illegally and they don't live here. They're immigrants. They're illegal immigrants. That's right. And you know, I'm going to add one thing to that, a little personal touch. Just last Friday night, I spoke in an event down here with a couple, you know, of national speakers as well. And mm-hmm. it was on about illegal, the dangers of illegal immigration. And mm-hmm. I had a young lady come up to me after I spoke, and she was telling me the story. And I'm from a small town in Florida, and she's from the same small town. I didn't uh-huh. know the lady, but her husband was and they had young daughters who, like at the time, were 1 and 2 or 2 and 3 years old. Her husband was killed by an illegal immigrant, and I believe it was mm-hmm. you know, driving under the when he shouldn't have been. I'll leave it at that. Found out I had been, you know, arrested several times and should have been exported, but it wasn't reported to ICE, which is what sanctuary cities do. If the police department catches a criminal in some of our cities, the city, if they're declared sanctuary cities, do not notify ICE under the law so that they can be expelled. Well, now she's got little girls, people that are now like 4 and 5 or 5 and 6 years old that will never see their daddy again because he was killed in a car wreck by a person that's not even supposed to be here. Now that struck right. home to me because this young lady lives about 10 minutes from me and I've never met her in my life. But this is not anonymous anymore. This isn't nobody knows who any of these people are anymore.
People are.
And it's getting worse by the day. Yeah, go ahead, Silk. I'm sorry.
I actually feel like I'm being harassed by this government. I feel like I'm being mocked by this government. And I feel like we have nobody that's supposed to be in position to stop this government from doing what it's doing to our country. Okay. Yeah, we got to wait till President Trump get back in. But they told us we got to wait till the Republican Congress get in because the Republican Congress have the power of the purse. But they are the ones that's funding this stuff. They are the ones that's funding Ukraine. They are the ones that's sending our American tax dollars to these foreign countries for humanitarian purposes when we have a humanitarian crisis right here in America. And now, real quick, when you talk about these doggone wars, and I'm just going to tell you my own humble opinion, I believe that this is straight up money laundering, a money laundering scam for them to launder money back, launder American tax dollars back to the evils that be so that they can fund their campaign. That's what I'm seeing as I sit back and I investigate and educate myself about it. And I'm just saying this is in my opinion and from what I am seeing. Now, I ain't trying to be conspiratorial or anything like that. But that's what I am seeing. So we have all of these wars. You say we got to keep sending money to somebody that you say is losing the war. But what about our country? Our country is on the losing end of the stick. Our country is going down. Our sovereignty is just basically being sold out. The fabric of America is being ripped to shreds. Okay? Being ripped to shreds. Now, I don't even know what a man is no more. They just done crisscrossed all of that stuff up now and told me that a man can get pregnant now. They want me to believe all of this here hoopla that they got going on. Now, American citizens, in my own humble opinion, I feel like we're being drugged here. When I look at what's in the air, when I look at the clouds, when I look at everything that I'm seeing, it feels like they want to keep us drugged up in a whole nother place, in another space, looking away from what they're truly doing to our country. And I can't look away. Colonel, I can't look away at what they're doing to our country. We're supposed to have access to the American dream. But now it appears that the American dream is nothing but a myth.
Well, and you make a lot of good points, and I'm just going to reinforce them, a couple of things for the viewers and the listeners. The war in Ukraine. Now, that war, if Russia wanted to go in tomorrow and eliminate Ukraine, they had the military and technology capability to do that. They could just wipe it off the planet. Okay, the war in Ukraine is lost. Ukraine is not going to beat the Soviet Union. They were never going to beat them. So then you start asking, well, who has anything to gain by us sending money to Ukraine? Well, the defense contractors. And as you point out, they donate to campaigns. And then you also look at a president that had a son that worked for one of the most criminal countries in Ukraine, that there was a lot of money there that questionably changed hands. Well, what impact is that having on this money that we are now sending and the support to Ukraine? So, and another thing you point out, now we want to send money to Ukraine to help secure their border, while on our own border, like you're talking about, we have Chinese coming through, you have gang members coming through, you have fentanyl coming through, you have children disappearing. What is everybody thinking? And again, folks, I would say when people tell you, oh, that's just conspiracy, tell them to watch the congressional testimonies, because there ain't no conspiracy there. Those witnesses are under oath. And you have the Democrats and Republicans sitting there, so you can't say it's not a fair jury. And you get a chance to get probably what's the most truth out of this. But you make great points there. The war in Ukraine, the only winners there are the people selling the military hardware. So we need to spend those money in our own cities. And it's like I've seen, I was watching some of I believe it was the city council in Chicago. And they were, and it was a lot of black people telling that black mayor, you know what, you have stabbed us in the back. What are you doing making this a sanctuary city? We hired you to make our city great. We hired you to protect our streets. We hired you to look after our interests. And you are not doing that. So, this isn't. And they want to make it a race issue. And I only bring that up, Silk, because it's not a race issue. It's an America First issue. And until we get someone in the White House that is determined that they can't buy and sell, and I think on both sides, this isn't just Republican, Democrat. You touched on that, too. I think you got people in both parties that are scared to death this man's going to win. Well, let me tell you what, he's going to win. And when he does, I believe that he is the last best chance we have to protect this republic. And
amen for that.
Those people watching, if you have family and friends, just tell them, here's the truth of what's going on the border. Here's the truth of what's going on in Ukraine. Here's the truth about the Chinese sneaking through a border. And again, if I was a spy, I don't have to sneak in anymore. I'll just walk through the border. I mean, we're basically telling them, we don't care what your background is. We don't chat. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Sylvia.
You got American citizens who have to go to the airport, go through the security checks, and they're getting all patted all down, violated. Their personal space all violated because you're checking them. You got the subway up there. They got the National Guards up there. They got to check each and everybody that goes on the subway. But what about the criminals that's still going on the subways with guns and weaponry? Now, one quick thing real quick before we end. We were talking about the FBI and how they're saying something about a terrorist attack is imminent. And Marjorie Taylor Greene, this is what she said. She said Pfizer is up for reauthorization, and they need maximum pressure on Congress to vote to reauthorize Pfizer, which the FBI unconstitutionally used to spy on hundreds of millions of Americans. If they really cared about terrorism in America, they would shut the border down and mass deport. So it's like a game that's being played here with the people, and I'm feeling like a ping pong, back and forth. When I wake up every day, I'm like, okay, what done happened now? What they done now, all right? And they're doing it at the expense of American citizens, and I do not like that. Last words, Colonel, you have something else to say on this.
And I'll make a comment on that for the viewers that aren't familiar with Pfizer. I believe it's the Foreign Intelligence Security Act. And the idea, and I may have that acronym not exactly right, but it was enacted just for them to be able to spy on foreign individuals, not Americans. It was specifically, it's under the FISA court, which is kind of outside our judicial system. I watched Christopher Wray again in a congressional testimony. So, folks, this isn't conspiracy or fallacy. And it was thrown up to him that even after it was first brought up, they were not supposed to use it at all. But they had FBI people checking on their girlfriends. They were checking on themselves. And they illegally spied on at least 200,000 Americans using FISA. And Section 702 is basically the mechanism FISA that they are able to spy on us illegally, and they don't have to get a warrant because that's kind of what FISA is about. And yet here's Ray, Director Ray testifying before the Congress. He gets it. All these Chinese coming through of military age, all these people coming through that are unvetted with unknown. Yes, they are a risk to our national security. So I, you know, he's sitting there. I don't really trust him at all. But, you know, I think even he's starting to realize I got an answer for a lot of this. And this open border, he's not in control of the border. He works for the attorney general. Well, he doesn't even work for
the secretary of security. This is straight treasonous. This, all of this that they're doing is straight treasonous. That's enough right there to get rid of Jim Crow Joe Biden, not to mention Obama and his crew spying on the Trump campaign and the Trump White House. All right, that's done already came out as well. Colonel Mike McAllister, I'm going to have you back on the show so we can do some more talking, because people are worried. People are just a little perplexed about what's truly going on. So I thank you so much for your honesty. I don't know. Do you have a social media account real quick that you can let everybody know how they can follow you?
You know what? I would just say that, I mean, I'm on Facebook at Mike McAllister, if you want to see if you can find me on there. But I think watching your show is the most important thing for them to do. I applaud the great work you're doing, and your viewers and listeners are in many ways critical to the future of this country. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being on the show. God bless you, sir. Thank you. All right, you all. That was an incredible conversation. I will have the colonel back because there's so much stuff that's coming down the pipeline. There's so much boo-boo that's coming out of the septic tank. It stink to high heavens. We can smell it. That's right. That's right. We can smell it all. Now listen, in the middle of swelling everything, we're going to have to pray. Every day at 11:21 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we stop what we're doing and we pray. I pray for you. You pray for me. We pray for each other. Remember that prayer changes things. Don't forget to pray for President Donald J. Trump and pray for his family, y'all, and pray for God to heal the land. So in the meantime and in between time, I look forward to seeing you next time right here on Diamond and Silk Chit Chat Live. Bye-bye.
Healthcare barriers to save you time and money. Mm-hmm. Go to gravecare.com. Use promo code Trump1 to sign up for your first bundle. If you're having problems when it comes to these hospitals, when it comes to these doctors, it's not just about the pandemic. It can be about anything. Gravecare.com. Use promo code Trump1 to receive a discount. Also, don't forget about the hypochlorous body spray.
Yes.
If you want to keep pathogens, viruses, and bacteria at bay, go to cbspray.com and get your hypochlorous spray. If you haven't gotten your potassium iodine, if you need hydroxychloroquine, or if you need ivermectin, go to drstellamd.com.
Yes.
And we've been talking about the circulatory system or how it affects and impacts everything. Go over there to the Dr. Artist Show and pick up you something for that. Everything, use promo code Trump1. Now listen, I know what everything I said. I don't want you to get a little hasty, but I want you to go over there and get you some tasty at mystore.com. Get the My Coffee, the pods. They are available. Even get you a nice coffee cup. You can get that at mystore.com. Use promo code Trump1 to receive a discount. That's mystore.com.
Right. I say the best part to waking up is not being woke, but being awake
with my coffee. I love it, y'all. I love it. So make sure. Also, don't forget about mypillow.com.
Yes.
Use promo code Trump1 to receive up to 66% off your entire purchase over there. Don't forget about our book, UprisingMyStore.com. Promo code Trump1. Don't forget about our bumper sticker and our t-shirt.
Yes.
It took 2,000 mules to install one jackass. Mm-hmm. DiamondandSilk.com. Use promo code Trump1 as well.
Yeah.